going to talk about something that is related with that which is not physical. What is that which is physical? The body of flesh and bones. So this is related with the psychology. This is a psychological lecture. Remember that psyche means the soul. So we have to understand the different inner parts that we have within in relation with that which we have to work with. We are going to talk about the ego, the personality, and the consciousness, which are three different things that we have to study and that we have to comprehend in order to know ourselves. Because the job that we have to perform is directly related with that is within. Let us talk about the ego. As I told you in other lectures, ego is a Latin word for me, for the me, the person, the psychological ego. And I told you that the ego is mind. In the lecture of evolution and devolution, I told you that the mind is that element that evolves in nature from the mineral kingdom to the humanoid, passing through the plant and animal. When the mind enters into the intellectual animal or the humanoid, that mind starts being single, an individual, but not the individuality or the sacred individuality that we have to have. It's just an apparently individuality. That mind turns into that we call ego, which many schools study at this time, and they think that the ego is divine. But I told you, the ego is just a result of the final evolution of that we call mind. Of course, the ego is related with the lower part of the mind, which is the emotion. So when we reach the level of humanoid, and then we have fully developed the three brains. Remember that we have three brains. The three brains are the intellectual brain, the emotional brain, and the sexual instinctive motor brain. So the three brains are fully developed in the intellectual animal called man by mistake. If we study other type of living organisms, we find different developments of the brains. For instance, in the plant kingdom, we discover that they have emotional brain. When we talk about brain, let us understand that we are talking that physical vehicle. We are not talking anything about, which is beyond the third dimension. So we said brain, we're talking about that compound of forms or cells that are the vehicle of the different activities or inner parts of our consciousness. When we talk about the mind, for instance, we know that the intellectual brain, which is our head, is a physical vehicle of that mind. But also we have another brain which is located here in our solar plex with all the nerves that are in conjunction there, forming another brain with different ends of the grand sympathetic nervous system, and it is related with the emotional center. And this brain is in which we find and we feel our emotions. But also we have another brain, which is situated in the spinal column. That brain is in relation with the movement. We know that at the end, on top of the spinal column, we have the motor center. And in the end, in the bottom, we find the instinctive center. Both centers are related with movement. But in the upper part, we have the customs and habits in relation with the motor center. And in the lower part, we find the instinctive functions of our organisms, or instinctive functions of our ego. And of course, it's also related with the sexual center, which is located in our sexual glands. So that motor brain is in relation, of course, with all of the movements of the organism, of the physical body. And the emotional brain with the emotions of that brain. And in the head, the intellectual brain. We find, for instance, that the ego is that particular entity that was evolved from the mineral to the plant to the animal, in which in the humanoid kingdom, and acting, of course, according to the evolution in this body with three brains. That's why the humanoid vehicle is the most evolved organism of nature, but it's still an animal. So this vehicle is how the ego acts in the three brains. But you see, for instance, in the animal, in spite of having the brain, is not completely evolved, because the brain of the animal has not intellect. But our brain already developed the intellect, which is the capacity of rationalizing. And that is the difference between the animal and the intellectual animal. That's why we call it intellectual animal. So when the animal reaches the intellect or develops the intellect, then that mind becomes ego, which is of course different particles of the animal mind that starts to think, to rationalize. But because it belongs to the animal kingdom, is going to rationalize or to use the intellect in the animal way. That's why we find that most of the ego or the parts of the mind that we have within are always thinking or rationalizing in the lower way, not in the human way, but in the animal way. We have, for instance, lust. If you see, this humanity is related with lust. There are many devices and many other things that humanity creates in order to satisfy lust in many ways. You find, for instance, the animal mind of anger, which is pretty normal among the animals. But the anger in the animals are, of course, not fully developed like in the intellectual animal. Because with an intellect, the intellectual animal has the capacity of create weapons in order to hurt the other that is hurting him. While in the animal, which is not rational, he's using only their own hands or paws in this case, right? Or teeth in order to attack or to defend himself. It's intuitive. But here we are, of course, acting with the ego or with the mind, the animal mind, in order to acquire fame, for instance, that it is going to be related with pride, right? So those aspects of the animal that are instinctive and emotional as well, are acting in the intellectual animal through the mind, and is or they are becoming more dangerous, because then to the intellect that animal aspect become dangerous, terrible dangerous. At this time that we see, for instance, in our humanity, we said humanity, but in reality it is not of humanoid society. So that's why it is not strange to see wars and many different type of degeneration in the animal way, because the mind, I repeat, is still animal. The only difference is that it is intellect. There are many types of persons in relation with the animal mind. A sly person is always a fox in the mental plane, which is of course that animal mind related with that capacity of the fox. If somebody is so lustful, and then in the mental plane, that mind is going to take the form of a pig or a dog. If somebody is so proud, that animal mind is going to take the form in the mental plane of a peacock. So each one of us in the mental plane is having a different type of animal form. And these are, of course, what religions call the seven capital sins, or which are related to the three brains. So the ego, of course, related to the three brains that we have in the physical body through which the ego acts, are related to the three traitors of Christ. Because Christ is that entity related with the monad, which is coming into the world in order to accomplish the will of power, or the will of the monad, while the ego, which is a creation, a mechanical creation of nature, is only created in order to accomplish the mechanicity, the automatism of nature, and is not related with the will of our monad. So that's why the ego always acts according to the laws of the mechanism of nature. And that's why the ego itself, which is mind, is the traitor that we have within, traitor of our monad, because he is not accomplishing the will of our monad, but the will of nature. This is how always is symbolized the mechanicity of nature in relation to the moon. You know that the moon is the mechanism of this planet. The moon is related with silver, and remember that the number 30 in Kabbalah is in relation with the world. That's why Judas always sells the Lord for 30 silver coins, which are of course related with the mechanism of nature. Judas is that part of our being in battle into the ego. Right, so you find there the symbology of the 30 silver coins with which Judas is buying the Lord, right? Which is of course the ego preferring to satisfy the mechanism of nature than to serve the one monad. So that's why in the body, the physical body, we find three traitors. Mind, the traitor of the mind. Desire, in relation with the heart, which is the opposite of willpower. And sex, which is of course the opposite of chastity, or the world that we have to live within ourselves. So when we talk about Judas, Pilate, and Caiaphas, the three traitors of the Lord in the Gospels, we are talking about the three brains. Judas in the sex, Pilate in the mind, and desire which is, of course, kaifas. Concentrated desire is evil will. Because when we talk about desire, of course, we find desire in the mind, we find desire in the sex, and also in our heart. But when we point here desire in relation with the heart, this area, we are talking about concentrated desire, which is evil will. When we concentrate a lot of desire in this area, and then we do the will of the ego. Anyhow, in many other philosophies and schools, always we find the three forms of the ego represented by three demons. And these three demons exist. When we talk about, for instance, the demon of the astral plane, we find that is the ego related with that astral plane. We find the demon in relation with the mind in the mental plane, and the ego in relation with evil will in the causal plane. So the initiate has to disintegrate these three types of egos or demons. But behind these three traitors, we find the seven capital sins, which are, of course, as you see here, the seven heads of the dragon. So in many symbology, also you find a dragon with seven heads, which are, of course, the seven capital sins. And behind the seven capital sins, you find religion. Because behind those seven capital sins, you find a lot of aggregates or small egos, in relation, of course, always with the mind. And remember that when we said mind, is because even the physical body is mind. The mind is the matter. And in the matter is where we find the mechanicity of nature. The mind, more dense, is the astral or emotional body. More dense than we find the physical body. So when we talk about Judas, for instance, is the degenerate demon of desire in relation with the body, in relation with the sexual force. So when we start doing the job in order to control the ego, we are starting with the body. We have to control the body, the physical body. And the demon related with this physical body is Judas. But then we have to control the mind. And the demon related with the mind is Pilate. The way in which the ego satisfies or justifies himself in order, of course, to feed himself. And the evil will, which is always doing the opposite of what we want to do in relation with the job of our Father, which is in heaven, our Monad. So there is nothing divine within the ego except the consciousness which is embattled within it. But unfortunately, when the consciousness is in battle within the ego, it's always acting evil, or in the wrong way, you can say, according to the mechanism of nature. So see here and understand that the consciousness, when it's evolving from the mineral, plant and animal, and then it's acting in the evolving way through the mind that nature is giving us in the evolution. But when that mind is reaching the intellectual animal, the intellect starts to create different types of ego that attract the consciousness in the involution or devolution. Because then the intellect, due to the ignorance of the consciousness, starts creating different aggregates. Those aggregates are the result of the ignorance of the intellect of the animal. And those aggregates are wrong creations or crystallization of the same mind in the wrong way. Because when the consciousness is evolving, and then the mechanism of nature is, of course, related or is, yeah, is related with the intelligence of the same mechanism, which is creation, perfection. That when the ego or the mind receives the intellect and then starts acting by himself, not under the direction of the angels or under the direction of other monads in relation with the evolution. When you receive the intellect, you feel capable of doing it without obeying the angels or the higher masters, the higher monads. The result is the creation of something wrong, which is the ego. Now you understand, right? You're getting it. And at this time, of course, because the humanoid believes that he is capable of doing many things for himself, the result is a wrong creation, a wrong civilization, like this in which we are living in this very moment. So the ego is not positive like many religions or philosophers state. They say that there are two types of ego, the inferior ego and the superior ego. And they say that the superior ego is divine and the inferior is not. But no, the ego is always inferior, because the ego is that animal mind evolved in the intellectual animal. Human is different. The human is above all animals. So if you have ego, it is because you have still something from the animal kingdom. So there is nothing divine. The ego, or that mind, animal mind, belongs to nature, belongs to the mechanism of nature, and is nothing related with divine. If we want to be, or to have, a human mind, we have to create it with the process of alchemy. So of course, in relation with this, when we enter in these studies, now that we are intellectual animals, we know that we have to enter into the human kingdom, and for that we have to annihilate the animal part of us and to create the human part of us. But the most difficult thing is to annihilate. So we have to know that each one of us has his own idiosyncrasy. What is that idiosyncrasy? It's that particular psychological individual character that is always characterizing us, different from the others. So we have to discover that particular idiosyncrasy that we call the individual particular character in relation with the ego, in relation with our mind. Remember that always we have this particular ego that characterizes more than other egos. And through that ego, the rest of the animal mind, which is also animal, acts. You have to catch this. For instance, if you examine a prostitute, it is obvious that the ego that characterizes that prostitute is lust. But maybe she is a prostitute not because of lust, but because she is afraid of being poor or being afraid of life. And that's why she is a prostitute. But of course, lust is related with it. But that lust is acting through that particular ego because of fear. So we have to discover, of course, that ego, which is obvious in ourselves. It might be that particular idiosyncrasy that we have in relation with our mind, but maybe not. But anyhow, we have to start destroying that particular ego, which is bigger than the others. And to discover that particular idiosyncrasy that we have in relation with that mind, animal mind, in order to annihilate at least the 50% of that animal mind. When we discover that idiosyncrasy, we are capable of arbitrarily destroying the 50%. And then we advance very, very far. And this particular ego that I'm talking about is always related with our problems, with different type of problems, behavior, relatives, friends that we have in our life. You find a drunkard in bars. You find a drug addict among the dealers of drugs, drug dealers, and involved in problems in jail, etc. So you have to discover what type of friends do you have, or you have any, in order to discover that particular idiosyncrasy. From your childhood, of course, until this very moment, you always have this type of friends, this type of problems, this type of behavior that is always normal and related with your idiosyncrasy. Many people think and always desire or wishes to be in relation, meeting angels and great masters for the brotherhood. But these people are not changing their psychological ego. They're still the same. You see many students of Krishnamurti, many students of Sivananda, Yogananda, and many students that we find here, particularly in this area of Los Angeles. Thousands of followers of many gurus and channelers that they like and enjoy the doctrine, the esotericism. But they do not have any relationship with high masters, only through mediums that they think that they are masters, demons talking to them. But never in their life they were physically, face to face, with a master. Not even in the astral plane. Why? Because always we attract and we are related with those personalities related with our level, related with our idiosyncrasy. If we are studying Krishnamurti and we are putting that belief in our animal mind, it's good. But if we don't perform that we are studying, and if we keep performing the sexual act of the animal, the result is that we are going to be always animals. Right. So we have to change our behavior. We show physically and then psychologically that we want to change, that we want to behave like humans, and then the master are going to approach us. And that is a problem in these times. Because most of the gurus or teachers, they are just teaching what they hear. They are not real gurus. They are just sometimes dealers of the temple, selling and buying the doctrine that sometimes is not the white doctrine but black one. So the ego is many, is legion at the end. Legion. There is a parable in the Bible, not it's a parable, but it's a story of a madman that was always throwing palm to their mouth, right, and always being attacked by demons. And Jesus approached him, and the demon stuck to him. He says, "Why are you coming to us, Son of God?" The man said, "It is not time for us yet." And then Jesus asked him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am legion, because we are many." Right. So the ego of that person, of course, was talking to the person. But when you read the Bible, many evangelists, they think that many demons were in that person at that moment. And Jesus took the demon from that person, and the person was okay, right? The reality is that any one of us is a legion. And when to take the demons out is not because somebody is possessed of some particular entity out of your body. The reality is that the egos are demons within ourselves. The lust is a demon, and we have that demon within. Anger is a demon as well. Hatred, envy.
Right.
So the demons live within each one of us. And some of them are good, because they're also good demons within.
Right.
And that, all that is ego, animal mind, with intellect. It's the only difference, but it's the same. Belongs to nature. If you don't destroy it, nature is going to take it. It's going to take it because it belongs to it. The laws of mechanism of life. So that is what we call ego. You know that. What is personality? Well, the word personality comes from the Latin word personae, which means mask. So each one of us has different masks. That's why in the ancient Greece they were performing different acting, right?
Dramas.
Wearing different personas or masks, right? Personalities. But that's why, because the personality is something or a mask that we build always each time when we have a new body. Right? So the personality even has the form of the very face that we have. But when we say that we have the very face that we have, that personality, it's because the face that we see here is not the real face. And I have that by direct experience when I talk about personality. The personality is related also with the ego, with the mind, in other words. But of course we find another immortal personalities which are not related with the ego. But I repeat, when I say this, is because an experience that I had before, I was in the internal plane. And I was releasing my bodies. When I released the first body, was the physical body. And of course, I understood at that very moment that my vital body was the superior part of my physical body. And I saw my physical body ugly as it is. Right? When I saw and I took also away my astral body out of me, I saw the face of my astral body, and it was the same face that I have here. And then I released my other body, my mental body, and also having the same face. But when I see myself in the causal body, the body of will, which belongs to the sixth dimension, and then I see that I was having another face. I was completely another person. And I understood that this person was my real person, my real self. Because my human soul, related with the causal body, is a lower part of my monad. Remember that the monad is a spirit, divine soul, and human soul. And that is a real being. Even though the human soul is also, I mean, is just the lower part of the monad. When I was in the causal body, looking at myself in the mirror, I saw another person. Of course, I see not another person, my real person, but other face. And then I understood there that the mind is that changes, the matter, but the spirit is always the same. So from the mind below is always the matter, and that matter changes according to the law of karma. And that mind or that matter always builds in each return into the physical body a different personality, while the body is being built within the womb of our mother. That personality, it doesn't exist. But it will exist according to these three factors: genotype, phenotype, paratype. What is the genotype? The genotype is the inheritance that we bring into this physical world, which is directly related with our mind, with our animal mind. It's the ego that returns, because genotype is in relation with the genes. In the causal plane, we have our own real personality. Is where the monad is, the sixth dimension, the causal plane. Right. While the mind below is that fake or that mask that we use, and we use a different mask each time that we return here. Right. So when the baby is born, when it's getting out of the womb, that baby is beautiful because it's not showing any mask. It's innocent. And only the 3% of that consciousness, which is free, which is not embodied into the ego, is acting through that small body. But the genotype, which is the inheritance that we bring from other lives, which is the ego, the animal mind, divided in many psychological aspects of the ego, of course, is waiting in order to enter into that small body. But it cannot enter because that small body has no personality yet. And then the baby is starting building that personality with a different attitudes that little by little is receiving from his own ego. It belongs to him, to that consciousness. That part of the consciousness which is embattled into the animal mind. Even the physical body is related with that inheritance, the creation of the physical body. But the ego is not acting through the physical body before creating the personality. But the physical body is created in relation with it. How? The cell, the primitive cell, which is created with the union of the sperm and the ovum, is that primitive cell in which we find the chromosomes of our father and mother, which is of course attracted one to each other according to the law of affinity that I talked to you in the other lecture. So that woman and that man who are performing the sexual act, in the moment of the spasm or orgasm, that particular note is related to the same vibration of the silver cord or the antecarana cord that is, of course, waiting to be united to another sperm, and that ego of that antecarana cord is, of course, in the fifth dimension, waiting for another body. And according to the law of affinity, the silver cord, the stream of the silver cord, is attracted, right, like a magnet, to the sperm, which is entering into the ovum in the moment of the spasm. So that spasm is a vibration that is in affinity with the ego, right? Because that spasm and orgasm is related as well with ego of each one of them, mother and father, because that is the law of affinity. So when we investigate that primitive cell, then we discover 48 chromosomes. In each chromosome it has 100 or more genes. And in each gene, of course, we find the ego. Right? That particular note or vibration that I'm talking about in relation with the ego, which is in the fifth dimension. So all the tenebrous vibration of Dracula, which is the ego, is passing through the antecarana, right? And this is how the karma is going to be fulfilled in the body. If that particular ego in the other body that died in the other life was cruel, and then that particular cruelty is going to block the light that is going to be related with the creation of the sight in the eyes of that baby. The result is that baby is going to be born blind. So behold here how this personality of this new baby, this blind, is directly related with his own inheritance,
right?
Karma. So genotype is always related with karma. But of course, this is how the body is created, according to that law, according to the actions of the past life. But after the body is created, then the phenotype starts. The phenotype is the education that we receive from our parents and teachers. So our parents, because they are egotistical, because they are not awakened ones, they are going to behave in the animal mind, in the animal way, and the result is going to be the creation of a personality related to the animal mind. And this is how the baby is having the inheritance or the attitudes, moods of the father or the mother, right? Because they are received by example. And from the 0 to 7 years in the childhood, the body is creating the personality or the mask that is going, of course, to act in this physical plane. But that mask, I repeat, in the beginning is related with the inheritance that he is bringing from the other world, from the other life, and from the parents, the attitude, moods, habits, customs, etc. That they see and hear, learning, right? Animal attitude. So at the end of the 7 years, all the ego is within. At the first year, for instance, maybe anger is entering, right, according to the development of that personality, and then pride. But I remember a friend of mine from Chile, like, he was telling me that he remembers when he was 3 years old and he was having the lust within. And he was thinking lustfully at the 3 years old and doing foolishness at the 3 years old. And he says, and I feel shame because I remember that I had 3 years old because I remember the third birthday. All right? And it was amazing. Well, I had the lust at the 3 years old. So imagine that type of personality. Right? So of course, sometimes pride enters first, sometimes anger. Right, but usually pride is within, and anger, right? It is usual, you see that most of the babies are 5 or 6 months, even though they are still innocent, because personality is not created. Until the 7 years, the personality is already created. And that personality is the one that receives the name of mommy and puppy, right? So that name, of course, is all the personality, but it's not a real name. It's a name that they thought to have, to put it, right, when we were babies. So that name is of the personality that we have. Anyhow, the name of the personality is not related to the name of our monad, which is completely apart. It's not in relation with the animal mind. So that is, of course, the inheritance, the genotype. Parents and our own inheritance, because even the genes that we are inheriting from our parents are related with our affinity, with our ego, and we have those parents because of our ego. So we have the parents that we deserve, and the parents have the children that they deserve. Now you understand why those children that are being born with drug addicts, they are having drug addict convulsion from their childhood. The phenotype, of course, is a type of knowledge that increases the personality. Unfortunately, all the teachers and friends of the type of education that we receive is coming from the animal mind of humanity. So all the knowledge that we have is animal, even if it's intellectual, with the exception of the holy sacred books, which are written by real human beings. And this is in relation with some higher knowledge. But most of the knowledge that we receive in colleges and universities are just garbage. So the phenotype What type of phenotype do you receive in the school? Yeah, in relation with the animal mind, mechanical, right? The war. If you kill someone in name of the flag, you are a hero. But if you kill someone in the streets, right, that are your citizens, your relatives, you are going to be in jail. But if you kill someone that is not of your country, and then you are a hero, right? And you, it's something disgusting, right? But this is the animal mind. This is animal behavior. So the phenotype is animal, 100%. It's useless. It's no good. Garbage, trash. Of course, we have to look for a good phenotype or phenotype in order to have education, knowledge for our soul, for our spirit. Because the type of knowledge that we find outside is just related with the animal mind. Paratype, circumstances. The different circumstances of life also are related with the developing of our personality. Unfortunately, in the different circumstances of life, always we learn in the wrong way. But when we have a very good knowledge in relation with the monad, then we learn to take advantage of the worst circumstances of life and then to build soul. But here we find that, for instance, let us talk about a paratype, a circumstance, which is always obvious. A terrible circumstance like someone reaching his house and finding his partner committing adultery with others. The common sense in the animal mind is to kill. You see that in the movies and everywhere. The type of examples, of course, if that happens in your life, you are going to kill as well. It's something that you feel here, you are going to do it, right? Because it's the first thing, you have a weapon in your hand, right? It's not a human behavior, it's animal behavior. So always, the persons always behave in their personality, they have different type of paradigms, examples, strong examples, that make them to act in the wrong way, or in the way of the animal mind, but not in the way of a human being. The prototype, different circumstances or behavior of personalities, this time you go to a party in this area, right? You about to be drunk. It's a common way of behavior. The thing is this, that the prototype is the attitude or the behavior that you always do in the different circumstances of life which are approaching unto you by surprise. By surprise. If you are, for instance, poor, in your subconsciousness, you remember the childhood. Your father was also poor, and he went into the supermarket, and he was stealing food. And you were accompanying him, and you remember that in your subconsciousness, even if consciously you don't remember. But you were stealing food with your dad, and you returned to home and you ate, right? Because you didn't have money. Now you are in the same situation, and because in the subconsciousness you have that memory, you go to the supermarket and you do the same thing, even though you don't remember. But sometimes you remember. So the different attitudes of the personality of the persons in this physical plane is because they have that example in many ways, right? That's why it's very important to make the subconsciousness conscious. Yes. And we have traumas. Sometimes when we see different type of personalities, we hate them in the very instant. But there's a trauma that we have in childhood. Or maybe we are remembering something that we is not in the consciousness, but in the subconsciousness. Right? Different type of criminals. Right? Always act in different ways according to the paratype that they had when they were children. Paratypes, of course, also are related with different environments. my personality is different. In my personality, I have the phenotype and the paratype of the different countries where I was, right? Visiting, dealing with people, so my personality is different, right? So always. So that is the personality, and the personal, when the body dies, the personality is always going from one place to the other, right, after death. And it is integrated in the space with the time. There is not any future for that personality. Personality dies with the body. In each return, I repeat, we build a new one according to the three factors of the personality. The personality is energetic and atomic. Energetic and atomic. Atomic, because it's in relation with the mind. Energetic, because it's built with the energy of the body. It says, this person has a strong personality, right? Which means the personality is related more with the mind, right? You're with the ego and to this humanoid. They're very strong, like the personality of Michael Jackson, for instance. Right? Listen very carefully. When your personality is very strong, it's more difficult to self-realization. Because when we fight against the ego, we fight against the personality as well. It's a false creation. So it's in relation with the mechanism of nature. Even though we need it in order to socialize. But in the end, we have to disintegrate it as well. But we have to take advantage of it while we have it. And we have, of course, to change it in a good way. To put the personality at the serve of the being. The service of the being. And the consciousness is the other thing that we have within, which is part of the human being, of the human soul. But the consciousness is not the mind, the consciousness is not the body, the consciousness is not the personality. The consciousness is that which is part of the soul, which is beyond the mind. Unfortunately, because it's a battle into the mind, the ego, it is not free. The consciousness is the soul. The soul is the consciousness. The consciousness is essence. The essence is the soul. That unfortunately is in battle with the mind. Conditioned to the ego. We have an embryo of soul, an embryo of consciousness that we have to work with in order to build a human soul, in order to build a human being. In order to build consciousness, in order to build soul, we have to work with the three factors of the evolution of the consciousness. But in this lecture, I pointed as alchemy, the first factor. Alchemy, which is the transformation of the solar light within each one of us. You know that alchemy comes from Allah and chemistry of Allah. That's Allah chemistry, or the chemistry of God, in other words. How to transform the electronic force, because the consciousness is electronic. The electronic world, the electronic dimension, is a sixth dimension. If we want to deal, if we want to increase our consciousness, we have to develop the electronic energy within each one of us with the alchemy. That electronic energy is the solar energy, which is deposited in the Muladhara chakra, which is of course related with the fire of the Holy Ghost, according to the Bible. And according to the Hindus, it is a kundalini, or the electronic fire, or the solar fire of the Holy Ghost. When we learn how to transform, how to transmute the solar energy that we have here in the sexual matter of our sexual glands, And then we start creating soul and increasing our essence with the same electronic force, because the Kundalini is electronic. The consciousness is electronic. The awakening of the Kundalini is, of course, the beginning of to be born again. The beginning of creating soul. The beginning of possessing the soul. So alchemy is, of course, the transformation of all of the energies of the physical body for the advantage of our soul. Beginning with the sacral energy, which is the most powerful one. Illumination. The consciousness has to be illuminated. We learn to receive illumination. We have to take the consciousness from the darkness and put it into the light. The darkness is the ego, the animal mind. The light is our monad. If we want to receive powers, illumination, initiation, we have to annihilate the ego, the animal mind, to take that consciousness and bottle into the mind and put it into the monad, spirit. But here's the second factor, annihilation. In the past of our past lives, because the animal mind reached the level of intellectual animal, started to devolve, to evolve, or to regress according to the mechanical laws of nature. The result is the creation of karma, which is, of course, karma is the law of cause and effect. A lot of damages that we were doing against ourselves, against nature, and against neighbors. So now we have to annihilate that karma. In order to annihilate that karma, we have to balance that karma, that law of cause and effect, by doing good in favor of nature, in favor of ourselves, and in favor of the neighbor. And that is what we call charity. In other words, the sacrifice for humanity. Charity starts or begins in home. Begins in our body. Sacrifice, which means sacred office or sacred duty. Our sacred duty is to transmute, to annihilate, to change ourselves into a good thing, not being animal but being human. To help our neighbors, our brothers, and humanity. By helping humanity, we also help nature. If we do not do that, the result is hurting nature, because the mind is devolving, and it's a destructive weapon against our own mother nature.